Well, I'm looking forward to the holy days. I hope that you are. It's time to begin thinking about them. And as we think about the spring holy day season, it causes us to reflect back on a number of historical events from which we can learn quite a number of lessons. And so God has us go through the holy days every year because He wants us to have those lessons in the forefront of our minds. The events of the Old Testament where God led Israel out of Egypt have stimulated a number of debates and some confusion, especially over the last 10 years in the church. Some Christian groups observe the Passover on the evening of the 15th of Nisan. They do this at the same time that the Jews eat their Passover Seder. And the question is, why do the vast majority of Jews observe Passover on the 15th? On the evening of the first day of unleavened bread, that's when we would be celebrating the night to be observed. They claim also that the Passover lambs were slain on the afternoon of the 14th, which is true. And then they were eaten that night at the beginning of the 15th. That's when the Jews and Pharisees observed the Passover in Christ's day, on the night after Christ ate the Passover. He ate it the previous evening. The Jews teach that the Passover commemorates Israel's coming out of Egypt. Is that what the Passover really commemorates? Israel coming out of Egypt. Jesus Christ told His disciples to prepare to eat the Passover on the night of the 14th. And He was crucified during the daylight portion of the 14th. And there appears to be some confusion even in the gospel accounts. As you look at the gospels, there seems to be some confusion. I'll cite a few confusing passages. In Mark chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, His disciples said to Him, 'Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?'" That seems to be a little confusing. Didn't they kill the lamb on Passover instead of the first day of unleavened bread? Why does Mark refer to the day that the lambs were killed as the first day of unleavened bread? This is especially confusing because this was the Passover evening that they were preparing for the 14th. And as you read Mark 14, verses 12 through 16, it clearly is describing the Passover service. So we know that Christ introduced the New Testament Passover at the beginning of the 14th. So why did Mark refer to it as the first day of unleavened bread? And when was the Passover lamb killed? Mark says it was on the first day of unleavened bread. So did Mark make a mistake? Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 through 19 say the following, "Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to Him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?'" That's confusing. The first day of unleavened bread and where do you want us to prepare the Passover? And He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover." So why was Christ keeping the Passover one night earlier than the Jews were keeping Passover? Why did Matthew refer to the day as the first day of unleavened bread? Luke chapter 22, verse 1. It says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill Him, for they feared the people." So why is the Feast of Unleavened Bread called Passover? I thought they were separate and distinct occasions. In the Old Testament, as I said, they're separate and distinct. Had something changed over time? How did the Feast of Unleavened Bread come to be called Passover? Could that be why there's so much confusion today? Luke 22, verse 7 says, "Then Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. What does that mean? Notice they are still preparing to eat the Passover as you look at the verses there through verse 13. So, I'm not going to explain this in detail today, but I'll give you the gist of it. It's not, when it says the feast, it's not, the word feast isn't in there. Basically, it's talking about the unleavens, and it's referring to the whole period of time. It's the unleavens. And so that period of time, Passover and the days of unleavened bread, were all called the unleavens. And so they're all days that are associated with unleavened bread. So there are still two distinct feasts, and I'm not going to go into detail about exactly what was said there, but I could just leave you hanging and in the future when I fully explain it. But that's the gist of it. So there is no discrepancy here. At the time when these men were writing the Gospels, that was the way that period of time was referred to. For instance, we will say the Passover season is coming up. And that includes the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. But we all know what we mean. So when they would say the unleavens living in their time, basically everybody understood they're referring to the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. So, but you see, people read these things and don't understand it, and they get confused. And they begin to merge Passover and the days of unleavened bread. And that's a problem that we don't want to fall into. So when you look at these scriptures, it looks confusing, and many of God's people have become confused today about these issues. People do vie and contend over this, which really there is nothing to vie and contend over. A number of independent groups have become confused as to when to take the New Testament Passover. Should it be on the night of the 14th when Christ clearly instituted the New Testament Passover? Should it be that night? Or should it be observed on the 15th when the Jews observe it? The Jews still observe it at this time and have been doing so for 2,000 years. So when we're celebrating the night to be observed, the Jews are celebrating their Seder, which is their Passover meal. Some claim that the Jews and the people of God have always kept the Passover with the lamb slain on the afternoon of the 14th. And the Passover was eaten by Israel at the beginning of the 15th. That's what a lot of people claim, but is that true? Israel ate the lamb on the 15th as the death angel passed over at midnight. Israel came out of Egypt on the 15th. The Jews claim, maintains that the slaying of the lambs, the passing through of the death angel, and the death of the firstborn and the Exodus all happened in one night, the 15th. They then say that Passover commemorates Israel's coming out of Egypt. It is still what is said by the Jews to this day. But this was not the position of Mr. Armstrong, nor is it the position of the United Church of God. Mr. Armstrong's position was that the events happened over two nights, beginning the 14th and carrying on into the 15th. Who's right? The Jews or Mr. Armstrong and the church? Did the events of the Passover and the coming out of Egypt occur in one night or two nights? If somebody asked you this, could you answer it? Could you explain this to them? Well, at the end of the sermon, you'll be able to explain it. And if you can explain it now, that's wonderful. I'll just fill in, hopefully, some things that you already know. So when was the Old Testament Passover lamb killed? At the beginning of the 14th, right after sunset, or was it in the afternoon of the 14th, as most Jews claim? Which was it? Are you certain? Are you sure? When it says that there's confusion, and there is, basically, I'm not confused. I pretty well think this is how it was and how the scriptures tell us, and so we can understand it and have confidence in what we're doing. Questions. Could the Jews be wrong? Could the Jews be wrong? Aren't they God's people and they have it all down and there's no doubt about their understanding? Well, know, think about that a minute. Were they the Jews were observing Passover at the beginning of the 15th. How did they come to do that? If you go back in history, you find that that was a tradition that developed back in the time of Hezekiah. It was a tradition. And you notice that the one who understood the Bible and the one who gave the word to Moses and others, he happened to celebrate it at the beginning of the 14th. That's probably telling us something, isn't it? Maybe he knew the answer to the question. He wasn't confused. And we shouldn't be either. Some in the church has explained this away in the past by saying, we don't worry about the Old Testament, we just look at what Christ did and that's all that matters. But my point here is you can understand the whole package, and God is very precise in his timing. And when you understand how God timed it all out, you can understand the Old Testament and you can see how it relates to the New, and you can see the whole panorama and see how it all fits together wonderfully. As you think about the Jews, did Christ condemn them? Did they have it all right? Well, he certainly did condemn them a number of different times. As you think about it, the Jews were celebrating the Passover, eating their Passover meal at the beginning of the 15th. And you notice what happened? They missed the Passover lamb. Do you think the way they were doing things caused them to miss the Passover lamb? Interestingly, Christ, during his ministry, did condemn the Jews soundly in a number of different places. And just in looking at Mark chapter 7, where it talks about eating with unwashed hands, and Christ's disciples are condemned for that. Christ condemned them because they said, "You are hypocrites. You say one thing and do another. You give an outward show, but in your heart you're doing something different." He told them that they were teaching wrong doctrines, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, and they were holding to the traditions of men. And I would hold that the way that they celebrated the Passover was a tradition of men, not the commandment of God. So what's the answer to these questions? What's the answers to these questions? We should be able to answer them. As we look at the scriptures and we put them together, we'll be able to come to an answer. Now, we're going to use some Hebrew words here. So I don't want you to start leaning back in your seat and your eyes rolling back in your head and you're all passing out and going to sleep. Stay with me here. It's not that complicated, but it will take some concentration to stick with it all the way through. I'm even going to spell the Hebrew words for you, and you can write them down and at least know what it is, even though you may not refer to it very often, but you'll at least know what it is. So let's look at Exodus chapter 12, where we learn about this is when the Passover was instituted in Israel. And I would venture to say that as time goes on and we have the opportunity, we'll look at Genesis, and we'll find that Passover took place in the book of Genesis. So you'll have to wait on that there. So keep coming to church and eventually we'll answer that. So I got to tease you, you know, it's like, you know, those cliffhangers as you look at things, then eventually we get to them, but we're not going to get to that today. But in Exodus chapter 12, the Passover is instituted in Israel. Let's begin in verse 1. It's God is speaking to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, in verse 2, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So from a religious calendar point of view, Nisan or Abib is the first month of the year. Okay? It is the first month of the year. Verse 3, it says, and God is having to clarify this to Israel. They had lost track of this. And God is informing them. He says, this is the first month of the year from a religious perspective as far as the unfolding of my plan on a yearly basis is concerned. And he says to them in verse 3, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household." So they, on the 10th of the month, they were to pick a lamb. So That's something that they did in the Old Testament. Interestingly, as you go into the New, you find that the lamb was selected even in the New Testament before Christ's death. It says here, and if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. So you were to choose a lamb that was without blemish. You know, it wasn't the lamb that was ready to die. It wasn't the lamb that was toothless and pretty much on its last legs. It was to be a thriving lamb and without blemish. A male of the first year, so as to be a young lamb. A male of the first year, you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. So you were to select the lamb, and you to select it on the 10th, and you were to keep it until a specific time when that lamb was to be slain. It says in verse 6, now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. So it says here that you're to keep it, select it on the 10th, is to be a lamb of the first year, is to be without blemish. And you're to keep it from the 10th until the 14th at twilight. Some of your Bibles may say in the margins between the two evenings. So what is at twilight? What does between the two evenings mean? It's a very specific time, actually. The best translation of this is found in the New Jerusalem Bible, where it says between the two evenings. And the meaning is simply that the entire congregation, without any exception, was to slay the lamb at the same time, between the two evenings, or in the evening at sunset. So between the two evenings or twilights is actually a Hebrew phrase rather than a Hebrew word. It's not just one word, it's a phrase. And that phrase is, I'll spell it for you, and that way if you want to know what it is, because I'll keep saying it here a few times, it's spelled B-E-E-Y-N, bean, and then a space, and H-A-A apostrophe, A-R-B-A-A-Y-I-M. If you're looking it up in Strong's, it's 6153. But anyway, it's bean ha-arborim, bayin. I'll probably botch that because I don't speak Hebrew. Albert may be correcting me after this, but I'm giving it my best shot. Albert's taking a Hebrew class. But bein ha-arbayim. And Strong's usually only translates words, not phrases, so Strong's does not offer us a lot of help here. As you look at this phrase, there are three interpretations of this particular phrase. One, the first interpretation, and it is the least accepted meaning, is that the two evenings, between the two evenings, means between the sunset of the 14th and the sunset of the 15th. So that's a pretty wide space of time. And a few accept this particular meaning, but you'll see it propounded at times. This meaning could refer to any time on the 14th, from sunset at the 14th all the way to the sunset on the 15th. The most widely accepted meaning is the following. Between the two evenings means the first evening being around noon or just after noon when the sun has reached its zenith and begins its descent. The second evening being sunset. And with this interpretation, the lambs would have been killed between noon and sunset, the afternoon of the 14th. This is the Jewish interpretation today. And when the temple lambs were slain at the time of Christ, they were slain beginning around 3 o'clock in the afternoon of the 14th. When the temple lambs were slain at the time of Christ, but were they being slain at that time according to the commandment of God? Is that when God told them to sacrifice them? Or is that a tradition of men? As you look, as I said, as you look at it historically, it is a tradition of men. Now, the fact is that the Lamb of God was actually slain on the afternoon, and there is a reason for that. But again, we're not going to get into that today. There is a reason for it that makes sense. The interpretation that we understand is the following. It is the second of the primary interpretations of between the two evenings. And this has been the understanding of the church in Mr. Armstrong's time and our time. The first evening is sunset. So the first evening is sunset. And in the end of the 13th, the beginning of the 14th. The second evening is when it becomes totally dark. So between the two evenings means the time between sunset and dark. That's what between the two evenings means. That's one of the interpretations. That period of twilight can last from 30 to 90 minutes, depending on what part of the earth you're on. If you were in Jerusalem, it runs about 45 to 60 minutes. So we begin Passover services at sunset. And so it's not dark yet when you begin. And time goes on, and by the time we're usually done, it is sunset. But you begin at sunset, not before. 3,500 years ago, when God told Israel to kill the lambs between the two evenings, when you said between the two evenings, everybody would have understood that. But we, living in 2012, what does that mean? What does that mean? But the question is, how do we know the answer to that living in our time? Can we know the answer? The answer is yes. We can look at the scriptures and figure it out. Let's go to verse 6 of chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. It says, "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, between the two evenings. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they shall eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." So was Passover associated with unleavened bread? Yes. You were to eat it with unleavened bread, just like we do. You know, those little crackers that we break up, they are unleavened. So it says here, so to eat the lamb that night with unleavened bread, does that mean it was the night of the 15th? Or was this at the beginning of the 7 days of unleavened bread? As most Jews believe. Now, to come to the understanding of this, we have to apply the principles that Mr. Braley brought out, the principle of context, and we have to also follow what it tells us in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. You have to go here a little and there a little to put all the scriptures together to rightly understand it. So that's what we're going to do, is take a look at a few passages which will help us to more fully understand that. Just because God instructed the people of Israel to eat unleavened bread with the Passover doesn't mean that it was unleavened bread. You see, what did the bread represent? It represented Jesus Christ at that time, just like it does today. It represents the sinless Jesus Christ. So unleavened bread was eaten at that time just as we do today. Going on in Exodus chapter 12, it tells them, as it says in verse 8, to eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. He says, don't eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. So how could they have burned the remains with fire, if any remained until morning, if they were leaving Egypt right after eating the lamb? How could they do that? Remember, the death angel comes through, and then they left at night, didn't they? And so how do they do that? You can't do it. And it's a fundamental flaw with the interpretation that it was all done on the night of the 15th. You can't fit it all in there. So this poses a major problem. that they're not able to resolve unless they were quick workers, and they weren't that good. Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. It says, "And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hands. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." So this, we get the idea from this particular verse that they're all dressed and they're ready to go. And yes, that's true. But did they leave the night that they ate the Passover? No, they didn't. So as you look at this, it says that you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, that particular word there, haste, is interesting, and it can mean haste. But there's also another meaning. It can mean to start up suddenly. It also means to fear or tremble. To fear or tremble. It is haste that is associated with fear and trembling and trepidation, which is how that word can be translated depending on the context. So what's the context? Why would they be fearful and trembling? Notice what it says in verse 12. It says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." How many of you would want to go out at midnight with that threat hanging over your head? You'd probably want to stay inside, wouldn't you? So here's God going to kill the firstborn. He's going to sweep through the land, and he's going to kill the firstborn, which caused some fear and trembling. And so they're ready to go, but they're ready to go in haste, and it has to do with the haste associated with fear and trembling. And that's what it means there. It doesn't mean that they were leaving that night, but they were ready to leave. And a momentous event is taking place here. Having their sandals on, belt and staff didn't mean they were leaving immediately after the death angel passed through. It simply meant that they were ready to leave. And they must make preparations to leave. And you have to look at all the events to get the complete picture. So what does the Passover commemorate? Does it commemorate the Exodus? Does it commemorate leaving Egypt? It doesn't. That's what the Jewish interpretation is, but that's not what it commemorates. What event is commemorated? Let's go to verse 11 again, where it says, "It is the Lord's Passover." It is the Lord's Passover. And why is that? Verse 12. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." But he's going to pass over the people of Israel for what reason? Why is he going to pass over them? Verse 13. "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." You see, they weren't any more deserving of life than the people of Egypt. The only reason that they were spared is because of the blood. We all understand that in a New Testament, from a New Testament perspective, in that we have all sinned and we all deserve to die, and it is only because of the blood of the Lamb that we are spared, that God passes over our sins. They were spared because of the blood. So what this commemorates is God passing over them, and because of the blood, sparing them. That's what it commemorated to them, and it commemorates that for all of us. Because we look at what took place then, and we can understand it in the New Testament context as the literal Lamb being sacrificed and His blood covering our sins. This point is also brought out in chapter 12, verses 26 and 27. Verses 26 and 27. "And it shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. It is a commemoration of God passing over them, being spared because of the blood on their lintels. And it is a similar commemoration for all of us as we renew our covenant with God at Passover time. And coming out of Egypt is part of the days of unleavened bread. We celebrate that as we observe the night to be observed as part of the days of unleavened bread. That's when Israel came out of Egypt. Now, since the Passover was designated to be on the 14th of the first month, wouldn't the events it commemorates also have occurred on the 14th day of the first month? They did. And let's look at how we can understand that. Let's look at more closely the meaning of between the two evenings, when the lambs were slain. As we look at the scriptures, is there a passage that we can go to where we can understand more fully the Hebrew phrase bin ha arba'im and its meaning? Is there a place where we can see it more clearly? What specific time does it designate for the killing of the lambs? And there is a passage that we can look at, and that's found in Exodus 16. But before we go to Exodus 16, we want to understand another Hebrew bit of wording, which is found in Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. And we're going to look at the Day of Atonement because the Day of Atonement and some instructions that are given in regard to the Day of Atonement help us to better understand that. In verse 26, it begins discussing the Day of Atonement, and the verse we want to focus on is found in verse 32. There it says, "It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening to evening you shall celebrate your Sabbath." Now, the Hebrew wording we want to focus on is at evening. And at evening is translated from the words ba, B-A, and E-R-E-V, erev, ba, erev, at evening. And the word erev literally means entering. This and refers to you're entering the time of the Sabbath. You're entering into darkness. You know, you're going from sunset, the sun is set, and you're entering into darkness. So Leviticus chapter 23, verse 32 tells us we're to fast beginning at Ba Erev, which is at evening. At evening. And when that word meaning at, it means at sunset. And so basically you're to fast from the end of the ninth day at sunset when that day is ending and the new day is beginning from God's perspective, Ba Arev, at evening. And you fast all the way to Ba Arev the next evening at sunset. So the two Hebrew words, Ba Arev, mean at sunset. And you may be thinking, why are we talking about that? Because you can't really understand what's going on in Exodus 16 unless you understand that particular principle. When you see at evening, Ba Arev, it is talking about the time when it's the sun is set and it's beginning to get dark. So with that scriptural understanding, we can go to Exodus chapter 16 and seek to understand that that phrase between the two evenings. Exodus chapter 16. And this is important to understand because then you can understand, okay, what was the timing of the Passover sacrifice? When was the Old Testament Passover slain? You can understand it And it's important to understand that fundamental thing as we look at other things about the Passover. Exodus 16, verse 1. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt. So they've been, they left Israel, or excuse me, left Egypt on the 15th day of the first month. So it's been 30 days since they left. Okay, a month has passed. So they because we know they came out of Egypt on the 15th day during the night. Yeah, they left the land of Egypt. And so it's the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. So they're doing what Israelites do so well. They're complaining very quickly. It's the 15th day of the second month. They begin to complain right after they arrive at the wilderness of Sin. And we'll see that the 15th day of the second month was a weekly Sabbath. Verse 3, and the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died in the land of Egypt by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for they have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So Moses and Aaron have led us out here deliberately so that we will die." I don't know how things like that get started. I'm sure Moses and Aaron didn't want to die themselves, and these people were real unhappy about how good life was back in Egypt, and they complained there too. So they thought back, well, at least we had food, at least we had enough to eat, and they had, even though life was hard, it was better than this. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said to the children of Israel, "At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt." So he says here that he's going through here, and he says in verse 4 that he's going to rain bread from heaven. And as you look at verses 5 and 6, when's he going to do that? It says, "And it shall be on the sixth day," it would be, in from our perspective, a Friday, "they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said to the children of Israel, "At evening." So what does "at evening" mean? We already looked at that, Ba Erev, which means at sunset. Okay? At sunset, God is telling them, "You will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt." So something's going to take place here at evening that is going to help them understand that God is with them and has brought them out of the land of Egypt. And he says in verse 7, "And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?" And so he's telling them that God's going to take care of your problems here with not having enough to eat. And Moses said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening." So, again, this what is that? That's going to be at sunset. He's going to give you meat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. So in the evening you're going to have meat, and the following morning you're going to have bread to the full. "For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." So the Lord is going to give you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. And the word translated "in the evening" is Ba Erev, or "at sunset" as defined by Leviticus chapter 23, verse 32. This is at sunset, at the end of a weekly Sabbath. Verse 9. Then Moses spoke to Aaron, "Say to all the children of the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints." Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat." At twilight you shall eat meat. That's between the two evenings. "And in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. At twilight you shall eat meat." And so he's telling them here that at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And as we said, that phrase there at twilight is that Hebrew phrase that I spelled out for you, being ha arbaim, between the two evenings. Between the two evenings you shall eat meat. So when does it say that this time period begins? When does this between the two evenings begin? Verse 13 explains that to us. Verse 13 says, "So it was that the quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp," manna. God, on Sunday morning, they had the manna. So at the end of the Sabbath, at sunset, the quail came, and they were to eat the quail between the two evenings. That's between sunset and darkness. So God sent the quail, and they were to eat it between the two evenings. So as the Sabbath was ending and the new day was beginning, it would be the first day of the week from God's perspective, and God sent the quail to them. Why did God send them the quail at the end of the day? Why did he send it at sunset, and they were to eat it between sunset and darkness? Why did he send it then? Because they were starving, they were hungry, they were going to die in the wilderness, and if God had sent the quail on the Sabbath, they would have all been hard at it, killing the quail, roasting the quail, and eating the quail. So God said, "I'm going to send it after sunset, at sunset there when the Sabbath is over." And he did. He sent the quail at sunset there, and they were to eat it between the two evenings. So, clearly the quail are sent at sunset, Ba Erev, and are to be eaten between the two evenings. Bein Ha Arbaim, verse 13. So the first evening of the phrase between the two evenings begins at sunset, as it was used and understood back then. So Bein Ha Arbaim, between the two sunsets, between the two evenings, begins at sunset. It's the period between sunset and total darkness. It's the twilight period at the end of one day and the beginning of a new day. So as you think about the answer to the question, when were the Passover lambs sacrificed? Exodus 12, verse 6 says that you were to kill it at twilight. Bein Ha Arbaim, between the two evenings. So you were to kill the lambs between sunset and total darkness at the beginning of the 14th. Not in the afternoon of the 14th, as the Jews slaughter the lambs according to their tradition, but you slaughter the lambs at sunset and between the two evenings, as commanded by God. Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words says about this word evening, "The phrase between the two evenings means the period between sunset and darkness or twilight." So to properly understand the events of the Passover, we have to understand when the Passover lambs were killed. They were killed between the two evenings, between sunset and total darkness at the very beginning of the 14th. Which means what in regard to when they were eaten? You slaughtered it at the beginning of the 14th, so when did you eat it? You ate it on the 14th. You had to stay in your house because the death angel was passing through on the 14th. And the death angel passed over you because you had put the blood on the lintels on the 14th. And you had to stay in your house till the 14th. And in the morning to burn whatever remained left over, whatever was remaining after the meal. And then, throughout the next portion of the day, you got ready to leave Egypt. And you rendezvoused at a particular point, and you came out of Egypt at night on the first day of unleavened bread. So one more interesting fact about the manna in Exodus chapter 16 is God says that you're to eat, you know, that God is going to provide the manna every morning, and you're to go out and gather a portion for your family, gather twice as much on Friday, and you're not to be out gathering it on the Sabbath because God is not going to give you any manna on the Sabbath. And beginning the morning after the 15th, which was a Sabbath, so God began giving them manna on the 16th day of the second month. And the manna was given to them the next 6 days, which you find in Exodus chapter 16. And this meant that the Sabbath was on the 22nd day of the second month. And the interesting thing is that you, about this, is working backward, you find the day on which the Passover occurred at the time of that of Israel's first Passover was on a Wednesday. It was on a Wednesday, the same day in which Jesus Christ was executed. And as we will see, as we look at this subject more fully, you will find that God's quite precise. You know, God sent His Son into the world in the fullness of time. At just the time was ripe for that. And as God works out His plan, He does it precisely. And God's very precise and stays on time. And to me, that's quite reassuring that God is quite conscious of the timing of things. So we'll look at these things more fully as we as the Passover draws closer. We'll look at not only that, but things that are pertinent to us as far as unleavened bread and getting ready for the Passover and being ready to renew our covenant with God. So hopefully that gives you a better understanding of when the Old Testament Passover was sacrificed.